Good afternoon, everybody out there in internet radio land. How are you? How have you been this last week? We've been living with ourselves day in and day out, every second of the day, right? Every second, every minute, every hour. But during the waking hours and the sleeping hours, one whole week's gone by since my last show. I hope you've been okay, surviving, enduring, persevering the pandemic that's going on. Been doing a lot of thinking about the way things are in the United States in relation to the world. You know, it seems like we've been pretty hard hit. Before, I think I mentioned this on a previous show, as you know, Italy and Spain at one time were, they had high numbers, right, for the cases, deaths. Now it's the United States. And I've been doing some thinking about that. I don't really want to find out what the truth is, you know. I don't want to blame anybody for things, but we, media, social media, might have a lot to do with that, you know. Unintentionally reporting things, just like ordinary news, you know, the news stations, without identifying anyone in particular, who some of us rely on for information regarding this pandemic, the number of cases, how many people died. Well, I was thinking, when you look at TV as a medium, and you understand that the people that report the news have a job to do, you know, they have a job just like us, to make their money. The billionaire owners behind the scenes are the ones that kind of call the shots. So, television as a medium, sometimes I can do without it. How about you? I remember when I lived by myself, I was in the Army in Cleveland from 1998 to 2001. I didn't watch hardly any television. And I think I was happy. You know, I got the news every once in a while. I can't remember if I used to get the newspaper. Back then, the internet was kind of young and I was, there was this one website I used to go to and log in and communicate with people of a like mind, you know, people who were spiritually minded. And that was kind of fun, but I didn't hardly watch any television, no sports, no news, no movies, nothing. And read a lot of books during that time. What does that tell you? And my son now, he's the same way. He's living in L.A. Works for Warner Brothers. He just turned 26. And we were talking the other day. He said, Dad, you know, the thing is, with the news, it's usually also negative. You know, hardly anything positive, especially now, you know, with the political situation. And that's another thing, too. The news stations, they're politically motivated, one side or the other. You can see that. And also, you know, it's like this. They report the news, and they say, well, today in Texas or Florida, there was 10,000 new cases of COVID-19, and so many deaths, and we've got somebody here to talk about it. You know, usually, as I mentioned, they're politically one side or the other. And now, we have a word from our sponsors. They go into a commercial, and they get paid millions of dollars for their advertising. Come right back to reporting the cases in another state, another situation. And both my son and I think that there's something wrong with that, you know? is, I don't want to, as I mentioned before, I don't want to kind of harp on them. I want to be positive, but I also am looking for a way to end this pandemic, you know, thinking about what I could do or say that might help make things better. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to look at every angle, you know, what might be the truth. People might be getting freaked out, panicked by the news media. They might be blowing it out of proportion. They might have been doing that for a few months now. And they, have you heard anybody say, hey, it's getting better? You know, I think it's on the decline. We're going to get through this. Have you heard much optimism? Have you heard anybody say good things? Anything positive? Well, maybe a little bit, not much. I heard today on the news, CNN, we watch a lot of CNN, and although I might harp, say things about them, you know, that may be a little bit negative in and of themselves, there is still, someone like myself, I try to accentuate positive. So I see the good people, the journalists, you know, and I like them all. I think they're beautiful people. And as I mentioned, they have these billionaire owners who are calling them shots. And I heard this one reporter today say, God bless some people. And that's the first time I heard that. I can't remember when I heard that last. And that is what we need more of, you know. You rarely hear mention of the word God on television, except for maybe TBN, you know, Trinity Broadcast Network or a Catholic television channel. And we need God, whether or not you believe in the Mother and Father God or the Supreme Creator in the universe like I do. But God has blessed America, and you have to believe that from the very beginning. Now, when I say God, I mean either one or the other, Mother or Father or both, or the Supreme Creator, has blessed America since the Founding Fathers, created a nation, set it on its course over 200 years ago, throughout the years, despite all the hardships we've had, the world wars, etc. Here we are today. And you know the song, God Bless America, Land That We Love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, white with foam, God bless America, our home sweet home. And that, my friends, or America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of green, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plains. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Now, that is better than the national anthem, in my opinion. We need to change the national anthem. And I'm a patriotic guy, just as patriotic as anybody else. But when you start talking about the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air, I mean, that's how many people have died because of war. Amen? Who wants to die in war? Nobody, right? I kind of like life. I want to live. I don't want to die. I don't want somebody to tell me I've got to go to war. I mean, I served 22 years in the Army, but I believe an Army should be used for mainly peacekeeping purposes. And then maybe in times of an emergency around the world to step in there and kind of put out a fire, so to speak, you know, but we should do it all together, not individually. All together, like in Desert Storm, we had that coalition went in there because what Saddam Hussein did was wrong. You know, he invaded Kuwait. He wanted their oil. He wanted the control of the Strait of Hormuz there, that area. And, you know, the control of the oil flow around the world. So we couldn't allow that because we're addicted to oil. We shouldn't be. But that's another subject altogether, you know. to listen to Tesla back in the beginning of the 20th century, we could have been extracting our energy out of the atmosphere, not to mention wind power and electricity. And now we're under the domination of the billionaire oil people around the globe, you know, under their thumb, my friend, so to speak. And so, on my show today, by the way, did you notice I've changed my title again, Spirits of the Universe, and back to that, I like that title better than Spirits Can Exist on the Sun. I think some of you may agree with me. I got the feeling that maybe people thought, well, I don't know about that title, that's kind of out there in right field, even though I completely understood what it meant, but not everyone did, I think. We had one guest I invited to be on my show, and you should probably check out my title. Spirits Can Exist on the Sun? I don't know if I want to be on the show and listen to it. I don't know if she even listened to a previous show that's archived. Any thanks to DBS Radio. That's one of the reasons I like my show, because I can listen to it myself afterwards, and it's cool to hear myself talk. For those of you out there that have a passion towards some subject, whether it's God, spirituality, nature, love, whatever. I know a lot of you do. I've seen all the shows out there. There's a lot of great, beautiful people in this world doing good things for the betterment of our species. And I personally thank you for that. I know you thank me for what I do. But you could have your own show. You know, it's worth the money. Not only that, you improve your public speaking skills. Right now, there could be maybe a million people listening to me around the world. I don't know. They might sit down and, hey, Blake's show is coming up. Let's grab some beers, smoke some pot. This is okay by me. You know, I don't do that anymore, but if you want to, that's fine. And, or just, you know, have a glass of wine or just your favorite beverage and listen to Blake. Wow, he's really cool. He talks about some kind of really spiritual stuff, you know. It'll make you think. I don't know. Perhaps. I hope so. I hope there are a lot of people out there listening to my show and other shows. I tune in every now and then to BBS Radio, and I like the music, too, when they're not playing any shows. And their music has always been the one. The music I've listened to has always been very unique, you know, kind of progressive, for lack of a better way of describing it. But on this show, I wanted to talk about myself and some of the things that are going on in my life. But first of all, let me just clarify what Spirits of the Universe is. We, as human beings on this earth, as you know, are really spiritual beings having a material experience. And as spirits who are born, and I won't say die, transition from this life when our physical bodies stop working, then we go to the spirit lands, or heaven, if you will. It's a world of light energy. And there we hang out. There's all kinds of activities going on, all people from all walks of life, from the past, all cultures there. There is no religion in heaven. There's only one truth. But still, you'll find Jesus there. You'll find Muhammad, Buddha, all the great leaders, unless they've reincarnated onto another world somewhere in the universe. They're going to be there. It's going to be a great homecoming, too, because that's where you came from. Surprise, surprise. Yes, you were born into this world. You had a pre-existence because you have a spirit in your body. You have a soul. The soul is the brain of the spirit. Very simple. So they go to these spirit lands when we transition, cross over. Remember that movie Crossing Over with Edwards? I forget his name, first name. John Edwards, that was it. Psychic mediums, you know. I started reading about some of them in the past. Sylvia Brown was one. James von Prague. All great people, you know, who have like a connection to the afterlife. And so, they'll tell you, you go there. And, you know, it's a great party. It's like a party there. And praise is on everybody's lips. You know, there's music everywhere. There's angels. Yeah. Then you can see them. You can see them then. And there's chariots that, you know, great. Like highways, if you will, that these chariots go down that connect all points in heaven, and which is the sun, by the way. And it's just like here on Earth, except it's much more brighter, obviously. There is no sun in the sky. It is the sun, the surface of the sun. The matrix of the solar system, my friends, from which all the planets revolve around, and the heat from the sun provides the important ingredient in the process of photosynthesis here on Earth. And the energy from the sun is what rotates the planets and moons on their axes. Isn't that amazing? So you go there. I mean, just imagine all the lectures, the concerts, great gatherings of people who will come to hear Martin Luther King, who passed away in 68, John Kennedy, great people in our past presidents, Benjamin Franklin, George Washington. Now they know the real deal. They're praising the creator of the universe, the beauty and wonder of all creation. At one time, there wasn't anything, my friends. You know that. There didn't have to be anything, but the Big Bang happened, and the material, physical universe began forming itself in accordance with the Supreme Creator's will. And why? Because the Supreme Creator loves growth and expansion, growth. Who doesn't love growth out there? I mean, we're babies, and we grow up to be these amazing adult human beings. We should love each other, right? So anyway, we get to heaven, and I know that I'll be giving my lectures there, but there's countless hundreds and hundreds of famous people that have existed in the past, Einstein, Newton, to name a couple, who are there and are making a difference, trying to make a difference, trying to help our world, trying to help grow and expand the universe in accordance with the Supreme Creator's desires. Because we have that little piece of infinite soul in us. Our souls are eternal. They will live forever. And that makes your heart start beating a little bit faster. That's what I learned from somebody. But then we'll go into that. But suffice it to say, there's all kinds of celebrations, great feasts in heaven. You'll get to meet the patriarchs of the Bible and the disciples if they haven't reincarnated. Again, I emphasize that because once we are back on track with our soul's journey, then we'll, if we haven't evolved sufficiently, and it's very difficult here to go from a planet one category planet, a planet one category, or category one planet, that's a mouthful, and then evolve up to a nine, which is the highest. So you've got all the steps in between, and you can't skip any steps. So actually, you might be able to, like, somebody in the 11th grade might be able to get a college degree, like it's happened before in the past here in the United States and around the world. You have some very intelligent people that can skip grades, right? Just as an example, I mentioned that. But so not everybody here on planet Earth, though, is just a young soul recently created. I think, in my opinion, most of us have previous lives. I can't tell you how many previous lives you've had. You can find out if you're interested. Me, I don't care to find out. There could be 1, 10, 50 even, or 200. And also, when we look about reincarnating, when we look into reincarnating, we have to consider missions that are available in other worlds, like the one that Jesus took when he came here. I'm talking about the Jesus who died on the cross. I won't go into the story. Some of you have heard my shows before. You know, maybe know what I'm talking about. But I just wanted to tell you that heaven is an amazing place. And so, yes, it's a lot brighter, and the colors are more intense, and there's only love and joy in the atmosphere, happiness, no more bodily fluids to care about, you know, not having to go to the bathroom every hour or so, you know what I mean? Or have to worry about getting impregnated for the women, you know? Sexual relationships in heaven are very real because it's love, really. You take away the bodily fluids, and what do you have? You just have love. Pure, plain and simple love. And that's one thing that makes another thing that makes heaven such a joyful place because, hey, you know, it's like everyone is making love to everybody there, so to speak. I mean, you can have a relationship that's mainly just from the head, you know, the people, they talk, they love each other so much. I love your soul, you know, your soul. I extremely love your soul. Or a male and a female can have that merging relationship, you know, where they merge their spirits and become one. And that's when, you know, by synchronicity of thoughts and spoken words, you can create things. And that's all in store for us. Isn't that amazing? I learned that from Sylvia Brown. I've learned everything from other people, my friends, and I'm passing it on to you. Believe it or not, you know, but it's something to consider. Maybe you didn't even think about that before, so now I might have helped you think of, at least think about it, whether or not you believe it. But anyway, so as I told you before, I am an accomplished singer, and I post videos of myself on YouTube singing. And I was listening to this song when I was in Mexico, Guadalajara. I was living with my parents back in 1971. So here's a little story. And we were living in Ottawa, Canada. And my dad had retired from the Canadian Army in 1966. And my sister, Eleanor, who lives in Seattle, God bless her, she moved out at 17 years old. Why? Because mom and dad were alcoholics back then. They were war babies from World War II. You know, they smoked and drank. And so, you know, war can make you a better person when someone's trying to kill you and shoot at you. And throw those V1 bombs the Germans were throwing at the English. Mom went through the bombing of London. Dad was at Normandy and Dunkirk. So that, suffice it to say, they had some pretty serious PTSD. And so they were drinkers and smokers, and they were bitter, you know. They loved me very much, and so I was like a shining star in their lives. And Eleanor, well, they loved her too, but I spent more time with them in their later years than she did. She talked with them on the phone, but I spent more physical time with them. And Eleanor, too, was adopted when I think she was 2 years old. I'm not sure. The doctors told my mother she could never have any babies. And so that's why they adopted Eleanor. And everything was good for a year or two. Maybe they got, I don't know how old she was when she was adopted. I don't know how to find that out. But then, surprisingly, along came me. They told my mother that she had some condition in her pelvis or maybe in her uterus where she couldn't have any babies, but she became pregnant with me. And so kind of pushed Eleanor out of the way, you know, for their love, so to speak, you know what I mean? But my parents were good people and they did their best. And she was loved, but she couldn't handle, especially Dad, who used to mistreat her. I don't know if he abused her, but I don't care to know. But eventually she said, I've had enough, and moved out when she was 17. And she did some pretty cool things, too. My sister did. She went to work for this one company in Toronto that puts together watches, you know, and it's very delicate, intricate work where you have to have good eye-hand coordination, put these little tiny little pieces into a watch. Back then, they were being handmade. And then she also joined the Coast Guard, and she was one of the very few Vietnam-era female veterans. She served 2 years in Coast Guard, and thank God for that, because she gets a disability check from the government because of her service, which is helping her to survive. So many thanks to God for that. And anyway, it was a cold January night in 1971 when my parents and I loaded up the car, a 1963 Pontiac, and our two cats, Tracy and Tootsie, and headed south below the Canadian-American border, through the United States, down to the Mexican-American border, and then 600 miles south to Guadalajara, Mexico, where I spent 2 years there, about two and a half, actually. I had been pulled out of the 11th grade in Canada because my parents wanted to move. My dad, he had his pension from the Canadian Army. They had a few pensions. Mom got a pension or two. I forget what they were, because they were English citizens living in Canada. Actually, they became Canadian citizens, but they got a check from the English government. Dad got a finger check because he had part of his left hand blown off by a German recoilless rifle in World War II. As I mentioned, he was at Normandy and Dunkirk, so he was one of the youngest captains in the British Army during the war. So they got these checks, and they knew that they'd be able to live better in Guadalajara, and the weather, of course, was like, it's one of the most temperate climates in the world. There's a few cities around the world who have, like, almost perfect climates. Doesn't get too hot in the summertime, doesn't get too cold in the wintertime. San Diego, California is another one of those. Caracas, Venezuela, where I lived in San Diego 8 years. I was in Caracas, Venezuela, my last duty assignment in the Army for 2.5 years. And then there's another city in South Africa, I forget what it's called, but, and some of these places are above sea level, you know, like in Caracas, they're 3,000 feet above sea level. So, I mean, it's 10 degrees north of the equator, but the temperature there is very temperate, you know, all year round. And so we lived there, and my parents were able to, when we first moved to Guadalajara, and they bought this house for $50 a month, three bedrooms, two bathrooms. So my parents were able to take their money and make it, stretch it out, you know, live in that house. It was just a basic adobe kind of house, you know, nothing fancy at all, but $50 a month back then, even in 1971, that was pretty good, right? And had a little front yard with tire tracks where you, for the tires, where you made out of concrete, where you pull your car up. And a little tiny little patio in the back and a patio in the middle. I remember I used to catch black widow spiders. I had no idea then that they were really that dangerous. So I'd put them in matchboxes. And I can't remember what I used to catch them with. It wasn't my fingers, I'll tell you that. But anyway. So I was a young man back then, under the tutelage of my parents, you know, living in a secondhand smoke environment and watching them drink all the time. But God was good, saw me through, saw us through. They lived to the ripe old age of 81. Many thanks to God for that, because if they had passed away earlier, I don't think they could have taken it as well. But suffice it to say, they're in Guadalajara. It was an amazing experience. And I learned a lot. So here I am today, living in San Antonio, and there's all kinds of things going on in my life, you know, and I'd like to share some of that with you. Tomorrow I'll be 66. Let me get my water. I made it, my friends. I tell you, wow. The last 4 years has been a long, slow, uphill climb. When you get to 62, you know what they do right away? They throw that, hey, you can get your Social Security right now. But don't you believe it. Do your research, because you hold on to your 66, you get more money. But there's always that pressure in the back of your mind. It's like when you're in the Army. When I got to 20 years, I was like, hey, I can retire now. I want to retire. But fortunately, there were some good people. Most of the officers and NCOs and all the soldiers in my life were just amazing, incredible leaders. They are. this wonderful men and women. I'm so grateful for their leadership that I have seen throughout the years when I was in the Army. Even now, I still work for the Army. But being 66, full retirement age, I'm going to start getting my Social Security check next month. They delay it a month. I don't know why. So I go, okay, you know, 9th of September is when I get my first check. So I've been paying into Social Security for 47 years. And so now it's time for me to collect. I'll get about $2,300 a month. Yeah. Well, I just thought of something. I want to go back to, you know, my show. I bounce around. I go back to where I was before. Sometimes I might not complete something I wanted to say. So I'll get back to Social Security. But first, I just wanted to go back to my show's new name, Spirits of the Universe, and say one reason that I called it that is because if you look at my website on VBS Radio, you'll see my picture there next to a sun in the background, all these stars of different sizes, you know, like huge stars, because guess what? Sun is a star. Star is a sun. Same thing. So spirits of the universe mean that, you know, we're born here. I'm saying that here on Earth in physical material bodies, and our spirits then, when they cross over, go on to heaven and then are reincarnated throughout the universe. So, and whether it's us, the human beings we are, or other species out there, you know, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of extraterrestrials that exist out there, because truly the universe is teeming with life, my friends. It's just that we haven't discovered it yet. Does that mean it doesn't exist? No, they're out there, because guess what? I've already said this before. All this life here on Earth, over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the oceans, seas, rivers, and lakes, over 10,000 types of birds, reptiles, 9,000 types of amphibians, 5,000 types of mammals. I mean, each one with a unique, each one created uniquely. I mean, even some birds, you know, same type, they're different, you know. Each one has their own personality, but individual bodies with eyes, some have wings, with reproductive systems, metabolisms, you know. They sleep at night. They wake. They have minds. They go where they want to. A fly, even, you know. You watch a fly, it'll fly around. Of course, they're only concerned about eating, so they're looking at things to eat. We think they're disgusting, but really, they're beautiful creations. They can fly, and they go. They want to go over there, they can go over there. And they have eyes, and they see, just like we see with our eyes, you know. So the Creator is amazing. But the point I was trying to make is that all this happened by act, all this life. I mean, look at the movie. I was watching it earlier, Planet Earth. You see, it's a series, like maybe three or four or five movies, a documentary kind of, actually. There's so much life here on Earth. If it all happened by accident, it could happen by accident elsewhere, anywhere in the universe. Isn't that logical? We have to be logical. We have to use logic to bridge the gap between belief and knowledge, my friends. But if there is a Creator, which I know is true, a Creator who is powerful, omnipotent enough to create this life, omniscient enough to create this life, omniscient, that is, you know, with the knowledge how to create a fly or a seal or an eagle or a black mamba snake or a gecko, a little gecko, or a great white shark, created with the knowledge and the power to create all that life, would logically have the power to create anything he or she wants to create anywhere in the universe. We can't limit the Creator's powers because we say, oh, well, Einstein said, there's no life elsewhere in the universe. Show me the proof. You might never see the proof. You don't want to die not knowing there's life out there. And I can tell you right now there is. You have to You have to bridge the gap between belief and knowledge with logic, my friend. Did I not just give you that logic that I learned from other people? So there you go. There is life out there. Anyone that doesn't believe that there's life out there is just not using their intelligence to their full capability. Let's put it that way. So here I am. I'm 66. Back to where I was, right? Oh, maybe I didn't quite finish. So as spirits, we can be reincarnated anywhere around the universe, either in our Milky Way galaxy or the Andromeda galaxy or whatever galaxy, depending on the type of world. There might be, I'm guessing, thousands of worlds just like this one out there. Wouldn't it be something to peek in at one of those and just see how different it is? Different stages through different stages of evolution. Beings that maybe have populated that planet from other planets in the universe, you know, that the civilizations they've created, the vehicles they use to transport themselves, the skies. The sky might be a little bit different in color, maybe green instead of blue. With clouds, atmospheric conditions, of course, exist on any planet because that's just the nature of a planet. They're like a being in and of themselves, a cosmic being. Mother Gaia here on Earth. We call Mother Earth, Mother Gaia. And so then the species that live on the planet are indigenous to that planet, meaning that they are able to survive and breathe the atmosphere and withstand the pressure from the atmosphere. So whether they have skin like ours, or maybe some kind of scale-like skin or bark-like skin that might be a different color. Maybe they might have green teeth and feathers for hair, blue bodies. They might be more wide than they are tall, or they might be tall, or they might be very small. But they're out there. I was hearing today Dr. Stephen Greer. In my opinion, he's one of the most intelligent men in the world. One of the most intelligent men in the world. Check him out on YouTube. Dr. Stephen Greer, G-R-E-E-R. He is a very courageous man. What he's done to disclose UFOs and extraterrestrial phenomena to help the world realize that we are not alone in the universe. What he's done, taking on all those people from black ops, the black men in black, you know, taking them on. And other people like him, too, are doing it. It's a growing thing. Check out Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. That's Dr. Stephen Greer's new movie. May God bless him. You know, it does take courage to stand up to the government, not only the government in the United States, but around the world. Roswell was a real happening. It really happened. You go to Roswell, they'll tell you, you know. I haven't been there myself. I want to go, but in 1947, indeed, a flying saucer did crash land there in Roswell, and the newspaper showed that. It was the headlines in the newspaper the next day before the Air Force decided to turn things around because they didn't want to panic the people. The Air Force major who went there and picked up the debris and later was shown in a picture with some hot weather balloon debris, saying it really wasn't a flying saucer, it was a hot weather balloon, said they got him to recant his story, but on his deathbed. Now, what person, logically, here we go with logic again. Why would somebody on his deathbed want everybody to know that it was not a hot weather balloon that recovered at Roswell? It was a flying saucer, and there were dead alien bodies there, too. No. Logically, a dying person wouldn't say that, wouldn't lie. That he would have no reason to lie. That's logic, right? Again, if you don't believe that, then you're intellectually challenged, in my opinion. I'm not saying that anyone listening to my show isn't, just saying, you know, come on. What more proof do you need? You don't have to land in your backyard? Well, I'll give him a call, and then I'll ask him to land in your backyard. How's that, okay? You think you can take it? Your eyes will be wide as quarters, and you'll probably be paralyzed with fear. See, you got to watch what you think, because you got to be smart enough to figure this out, so if you do have an encounter, you won't freak out. Okay, I'm helping you not to freak out. So, we go around the universe as our spirits. They have their spirits, too, in their bodies, you know? So, the spirit realm exists, separate from the material realm. So, when I say my show is Spirits of the Universe, means us human being spirits and all those ET spirits out there, we are spirits of the universe. We are born, we die. There's one particular race of extraterrestrials called the Verdant, and their mothership called the Goodwill is behind the moon at this time. I hope it's still there. And their lifespan is, check it out, 20,000 years. How would you like to live for 20,000 years, my friends? If you said, no thanks, then I understand you're homesick, you want to get back to heaven, but you should be saying, yeah, I want to live for 20,000 years and enjoy the beauty of this planet. I want to have a relationship with my creator. I want to realize that every day I spend here on earth is helping to develop me spiritually and evolve. So that's why I'm here. So if I live to be 20,000 years old, I will have developed myself spiritually a whole lot by the time I die. So enough about that. Moving on. I learned this new song. I was telling you about it. When I lived in Mexico, actually that's where I was going before. When I lived in Guadalajara. And from that house, we moved into a new house, which was a couple of blocks from the American High School. It had marble floors. It was quite an upgrade to where we lived before. Not like the best. I had some friends, classmates there that had these mansions, you know, because their parents were rich. And in Guadalajara at that time, 1971 to 73, the American dollar was more powerful than the Mexican peso, plus you know, it was 8 pesos to the dollar, so cost of living there, I should say, was not as much as in the United States. So somebody, they moved down there and they were on a pension. Maybe got $4,000, $5,000 a month. I mean, you could get a beautiful house for $500, $600 a month. Just beautiful, beautiful six-bedroom house, four bathrooms, beautiful backyard, front yard. Get a maid thrown in, you know, and they had maid's quarters, too. But anyway, what I was trying to get to was this one song I learned. I used to go to bed at night there in Guadalajara, yeah. And I made it out of there. I survived. I'm living today, living proof of that. I can tell you some stories, but I won't go into it. But when I used to go to bed at night, I had my radio in between my bed and there's another bed right next to me. Sometimes I'd have friends over. And so just before I go to sleep, I turn the radio on, and I listen to this radio channel called Radio Internacional. And they would make their announcement, Radio Internacional. One song that I used to hear all the time was one of my favorites, a song by 10 Years After called I'd Love to Change the World. Remember that one? Check it out on YouTube, 10 Years After I'd Love to Change the World. It goes like this. I won't sing about it, but say the words. But I did put it on YouTube, so check it out. By the way, I've been going hands-free now with the microphone. And I don't want to say anything bad out there. You know, as I mentioned, I'm an accomplished singer. Gone to the Wounded Warriors many times since 2013 and sampled them there. But I will say what I've learned. Now, you can do what you want. But what I've learned, my friends, is that I can't use the microphone with either the left or the right hand because there's something about it for me that doesn't exercise both lungs at the same time. Also, I've had a hernia in my lower right abdomen. And when I use the microphone with only one hand or the other, it aggravates that vernia. And my breathing is interrupted. It's not as efficient as when I go both hands free. Of course, you're only going to do that if you're singing a cappella or if you have the microphone on a stand, which is what I've started doing. I've got the microphone on a stand now. It's great because really you see all these great singers in the past. Take the three tenors with Luciano Pavarotti and Placido Domingo, and I forget the name of the other one. They don't have microphones in their hands. They might have them clipped to their lapels, but they sing into a microphone. Why? Because if you're a singer, this is what I've learned. I mean, I don't want to judge you. I'm just saying, I'm just throwing it out there in case maybe you can take advantage or use this information in a positive way that might help you. If you really want to be an efficient singer, oh, yes, I am an accomplished singer, I guarantee you, I might be one of the best karaoke singers in the world. And I think that might be true. And you have to be able to use both hands when you sing. Using holding something on one hand and gesturing with the other hand is not an efficient way to sing. It's going to be compromised. That's what I've learned. But anyway, so I sang this one song called I'd Love to Change the World. The words go like this. Everywhere there's freaks and Harrys. Don't forget, this was 1971, you know, and the Vietnam War was going on. Dykes and fairies, you know, as I mentioned in my last show, dykes are lesbians, homosexuals, whom I love. I understand, you know, they're okay in my book. I think they're great. Dykes and fairies, fairies, though, you know, fairies really exist. Some live in trees, you know, they're part of Mother Nature. We just can't see them. They pop in and out of reality. They're like interdimensional, but they're little beings with wings. It's true. Check out the near-death experience of David Oakford. Read that, and you'll see it talks about fairies there. When he'd taken, I think, LSD, and he had this trip experience, and he almost died. He almost OD'd. He had an angel appeared to him, and he saw these beings living in trees, like little leprechauns, you know. Leprechauns are real, because they're really part of nature. I mean, not the way that they paint him out to be, but so David Oakford, that experience there. And they might be looking at me now. I feel strange. I gotta take a drink of water here. So this song, I'd Love to Change the World. Everywhere there's freaks and Harrys, dykes and fairies, tell me where is sanity. Tax the rich, feed the poor, till there's no rich no more. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do. So I'll leave it up to you. Then it goes on. The next verse is, population keeps on breeding, nations bleeding, still feed more economy. Life is funny. Skies are sunny, bees make honey, who needs money? Economy. And then the final verse goes, trying to remember, world pollution, there's no solution, institution, electrocution, just black and white, rich or poor, us and them, stop the war. Stop the war! Stop the war, my friend. Stop warring. Stop the killing. Might be one of the reasons for this pandemic. Isn't that a thought? Is that a thought? Maybe. You know, if you believe that Mother and Father God are in control, or if you just believe in a Father God, he's in control, or you believe in the Supreme Creator of the whole universe, he, she is in control. Just imagine Take, for example, Mother and Father God. They might be saying to themselves, whom I believe in, right? Mother and Father God. Let's, like, just before the end of World War I, they had the Spanish flu. The war was still ongoing at the time when the Spanish flu started. Yeah, it's true. Check it out. 1918, November. And it started earlier on, like March of 18. And the war ended in November of 18. So why would a pandemic start right just before a world war ended? Was Mother and Father God trying to send a message? So here we are now, 100 years later. And don't you say that there isn't any war going on or that we're not going to be involved in war again in the future. You know different. You know better than that. There's been all kinds of wars going on. Afghanistan, Iraq, all around the world. Little wars happening in Syria. What's up with that? No. I'm trying to pretend that war is not an ongoing thing. We need to stop the war. So anyway, check out that song. It's a cool song. I sang it. But then there's this other one that I like. I'm going to learn next week. I'm off next week. I'm on leave. I was going to celebrate my 66th birthday with a cruise. But the cruise was canceled. If the cruise hadn't been canceled, my friends, I wouldn't be talking to you right now. I'd be on that cruise ship and it'd be leaving Galveston, heading down to the Western Caribbean route to Jamaica, Grand Cayman, Cozumel. Oh, I love that cruise. I've been on it many times. And for me, it's different because I'm a vegan vegetarian. So it's not the same, you know, when you got to kind of eat all that other food. My diet is basically simple, not too complicated. You know, I needed to because I didn't always treat myself well in the past. You know, I had substance abuse problems in my past. That's another thing about cruises, too. It can be like a place where you find many of the sins that the Bible talks about. Sins that are in the Bible, you know, the seven deadly sins, gluttony, you know, smoking, alcohol, and what else? Gambling. My wife loves to gamble, but I try not to hold it against her, you know. I almost lost her last year. She came down with pneumonia, and she almost died. So now I just can't judge her. Whatever she wants to do is fine by me. You understand the way I feel? You know, I mean, she's not like the kind that would go and gamble a house away, you know. Give me the title for the house. I just got to gamble. I want to gamble. I need $20,000, you know. No, she's not that way. She'll spend some money. She does these scratch-offs all the time. She likes $50 ones. And she wins all the time. I tell you, she's lucky. More lucky than me. I go get a scratch-off. I always lose. I mean, I won $100. I don't get them too often either. Because my mind is kind of divided about whether or not it's a sin, you know, because of gambling, you know, kind of, when you get a scratch off. So, but every once in a while, every maybe 6 months, I'll get a scratch off. I got this $20 scratch off, and I won $20 five times, $100. So, I wound up losing it all back. Yeah, that's the way it goes. But anyway, so we were supposed to be on a cruise ship today, but I rescheduled it for the spring break next year, hopefully. Pandemic will be over by then. We also have another, just my wife and I, we're going to take the whole family for this one. Well, I got 1 minute. Boy, time has flown. I didn't really get a chance to talk too much about myself, but I will on the following show next Saturday. So until then, I hope everyone takes good care of yourself. Please get your daily recommended amount of sunshine and fresh air and take good care of yourself. Drink water, good high-quality H2O. I love you. Thank you for listening to my show. May God bless us, everyone. Bye-bye.